Welcome, brains. Welcome home. Back here on the edge with April Mahoney. We've got another phenomenal guest, and she's going to talk about a lot of great stuff. She's going to explain to us what is an empath. She's going to talk to us about newly released inmates that were incarcerated. What is this pandemic doing? What is the impact on the job? She works for a nonprofit social service organization. We're going to talk about her book, The Inner Tree. And she has another book that is absolutely wonderful. We're going to talk about that. And the work that she's doing with individuals here on the planet, you know? So, brains, help me welcome our beautiful guest today, Maura McCarley Torkelson. Hello. How are you, baby?
Hello, thank you so much for inviting me on. Hello, brains.
Hey,
nice brains. To meet you.
It's lovely. It is lovely. And you're a lovely person. When I got to talking to you and you told me the population of individuals that you work with in the prisons and really how much that means to you and what you're doing, it just touched at my heart because, hello, prisoners, okay? I know that there's a lot of people there that need this message. There's a lot of people that have been released from prison that need this message. And there's people like you that have dedicated your life. You didn't have to do this. You know, this is not a part of your actual life story. And then you said, okay, well, I'm going to go back and help. You chose to work with this population. Tell us a little bit about the work that you do. And then we're going to springboard into your book and all of the other wonderful things you bring to the world.
Okay, yeah, so I work for a nonprofit and I do a couple things. My role is actually to be a job coach. So the goal is to help them find employment now that they're out of prison. And I also run the, what we call the P2E, Pathway to Employment class, which covers a lot of territory, which I also get an opportunity to bring material in from my book around emotional management stuff. So, I love actually working with this group of people. And, you know, I got my start doing this back when I was an entrepreneur, volunteering to go into San Quentin. And after the first time I did that, I was so much in love with it, love with the opportunity, and actually, to be honest with you, just totally in love with the men. And what they were willing to do and how vulnerable they were willing to be, that I just knew this was something that I needed to dedicate myself to.
Now, you know, most people would be scared to death. San Quentin is lightweight, okay? It's not, you know, it's not lightweight. We got some heavy hitters in there. And to go in there and to find passion and to find compassion, because brains are not animals, they're human beings.
Yes. Okay.
And yeah, to really help them develop a skill set, even a mindset, to want to re-enter society. You know, I got a family member. I had a couple that's been incarcerated, but I've got one that has been incarcerated in and out since he was 8 years old. You know, and he's got some mental challenges, but he does not know how to function mainstream in society. What kind of things are you pouring into these individuals to give them some glimmer of hope, Maura?
Well, so first and foremost, no matter what I'm doing, I know what my primary job is, and that is just to love them. And everything that I do comes from that. So I'm also an educator at heart. So, you know, I've been doing training and development work for over 20 years now, and I love supporting people and I love educating people. So I get to, you know, shine in that and pouring my love into that education. And there's many different things that we have to cover, you know, to help them interview well and resumes and all that kind of stuff. But the piece that I love the most is supporting them in developing what I would call emotional awareness. So one of the things that I identified out of my own trauma, you know, I truly believe that all of us on this planet, I like to call the system that we're in the great trauma recycling system. And so we all have trauma. And trauma comes from a lot of different places. It can come from abuse, but trauma can also occur from having surgery as a young child and how frightening that is. And that's actually the roots of my trauma. It's taken me years to actually work through and understand it. And so I also bring that education into what I'm doing and help educate, you know, it's both men and women in the program, but it's actually about 90% men, to help them understand how trauma gets held in the body, and you actually have to work with the body to move through it, and you have to work with understanding your emotions from the physical body level too, from, we call that somatic work. And so I pull all of that into the classroom, and then when I'm coaching with them, I'm present with them, whatever's going on in their life, because they face significant barriers. And those barriers are, you know, the barriers of having been in prison and having that ongoing trauma and the hypervigilance that comes from that, but just the barriers that society erects as well.
Right.
So right. It's
what
lot.
They have to look forward to, because, you know, sometimes they're very excited about getting out, but then when they get out, they're reentering into the same set of circumstances. They're going to the same neighborhood. They're dealing with the same group of people, you know, the same traps. They get caught up in that. What do you instill in them to help, you know, help them navigate through that?
Well, so I think number one is to find some self-compassion for themselves, which is why I approach the whole trauma from, hey, look, this is your brain and your body in hypervigilance. And you can't just expect that you're going to come out of a hypervigilant situation like prison and just transform suddenly. It doesn't work that way. So you have to understand what's going on inside me.
Right.
You know, and, you know, that ties in also the thinking process, but also understanding the emotional body. What I learned from just processing myself is that as a child, first of all, I'm an empath. So,
explain that, because a lot of people don't know. I know what it is, but explain that. What does that mean?
Okay. So what that means for me is that when I am with other people, I am experiencing their emotions in my body. I am feeling what they're feeling. I'm feeling my gut twisting. I'm feeling the pressure behind my eyes. You know, if there's tears that want to be shed. So I'm physically in tune with that. And the point that I was trying to get to there is, as I was growing up, first of all, we don't get emotional education in this culture. We learn our how to manage our emotions from our families of origin and then our peer set. Second of all, I was confused a lot of the time because I was feeling other people's feelings and I didn't know that. So I was like, why am I feeling so sad today? I didn't understand. It was very confusing to be an empath as I was growing up. And then it wasn't until later. So, you know, what that meant was I couldn't really separate myself. Okay. And, you know, I was told from my family, oh, you're too emotional. You wear your emotions on your sleeves. All of those words, which those of us who are very sensitive hear from the culture at large, you know, because we scare other people with our emoting.
Right.
So it took me a long time to understand that's what I was, that I was empathic. And once I began to understand that, then I could begin to separate myself from the emotions. And it was only through doing this emotional work and examining my body that I actually came to that. So, I mean, I'd love to talk about how we can become more emotionally aware and also how working with our body can help us move through those challenging emotions.
Talk about it.
Yeah. So
we're on the edge to listen and learn. Talk about it.
So let me grab my book, because I want to see if I can show you a picture that I have in here. As I was doing this work, I put the emotions in what I call the tree of emotions. And I did a lot of studying of the emotional systems out there, and I decided that the five core emotions were grief, shame, joy, anger, and fear. So if you look at the tree, you know, trees have bigger and smaller branches. So those are the main branches. So you can imagine on the anger branch that the smaller branch might be something like annoyance.
Okay.
And So if you notice with these emotions, 4 out of 5 of them are difficult, challenging. And the other thing that you might notice about this is that every one of those challenging emotions has to do with loss of something. So grief is our primary expression to loss. Shame is a loss of self-worth. Fear is fear about losing, right? Losing something, losing our health, losing our body, losing our house. And anger is protection from loss, but it's also a cover emotion for all of those other challenging emotions. So as I was writing my book, I actually lost my father who, you know, he was one of my greatest champions and the first very close person in my life who I lost. And I had been telling myself the story about grief before he died that, oh, I'm not going to be able to bear this. I'm not going to be able to take it. And I decided to go through the grieving process with him consciously. Oh. And what I realized is that I was perfectly capable of being with it. Was it easy? No. But I was perfectly capable of grieving. And that's where the mandala came from. So I realized in all of this conscious process that my grief is actually part of my love. Mm. And my grief honors the love that I have for someone. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've got fear down the center here because we're so afraid of grief in this culture. So well, we have to cross
I just had a grief recovery specialist on my show, and he tapped on exactly what you're saying, that, yeah. You know, grief is loss, essentially.
Yes, it is. And so what this taught me is, first of all, if we aren't prepared to deal with loss in our life, we're not going to do very well in this life because we go through life experiencing a lot of loss. So we need to learn how to be with our challenging emotions, which all have to do with loss, because we are going to face loss in life.
So, every day. I mean, look at where we are right now. We're talking about the loss of your spouse, maybe, or family member from this invisible virus. We're exactly. talking about a loss of our income. We're a loss at social interacting. You know, again, a loss of our sanity. There's a lot of loss here. So there's a lot of grief. So that is also found in this book, correct? In the Inner Tree?
That is found in the Inner Tree.
Okay. So Brains, I want you to pick up a copy of this. You will have an opportunity to win a copy of The Inner Grief from Mara. It's going to be wonderful. I'm going to put it online, and you know, all you have to do is hit love, like, or wow, and be entered to win. Tell us about your fictional book, the first book that you wrote.
Okay. So, yeah, let me just get back to circle around back to one more point, which is there's a lot to say here, so it's kind of hard to get it in a snapshot, but one way to be with your emotions is actually to be with your body. And this is the step that we kind of avoid because our emotions can be excruciating. So for me, grieving my father, when I finally got to that nexus point of the grief, what I experienced in my body was it felt like my heart was ripping open and there was all of this electric charge around that. And when I finally just let myself be with that, there was a huge release after. And how I did that was I was focused on not the story in my head, but what I was experiencing in my body. And that is one way that we can actually be with and move through our emotions, because what we tend to do is suppress that. And guess what happens when we suppress it? It sticks around, and it sticks around forever. So, you know, there's that saying, emotions are energy in motion. If we don't allow that energy to move through, we stop the whole process, we press it down, and then it goes nowhere and it impacts our entire life.
Right. So, and so it turns us into, you know, it causes disease.
Yes.
A lot of people that I've worked with, especially energy workers, they say that, you know, a lot of these diseases is suppressed grief and suppressed pain that has manifested and turned into something else. So that's powerful. So again, so show us your book, your other book, your fictional book. Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, so this is called The Curious Magic of Buckeye Groves. And this is actually my first book, and it's fiction. It is a women's fantasy, but it's also deeply influenced by my spiritual studies. Okay. And so there's a lot in this book. It's a story of a young woman who's actually not completely human, and her story of discovery for herself and going back to her world, which is tied to our world, and trees are at the center of that story. But one of the interesting things is I think that writing, particularly writing fiction, is actually an oracular process in a lot of ways. So there were things that I put in this book that I had no idea where they came from. It's like, where did that scene come
right,
from?
Right.
You know, so our creativity is tied deeply to our higher power if we allow that to flow, and we allow it to flow through us. So one of the things that I wrote about in this book, which is actually comes out of my own experience too, is one of the characters having this moment of deep fear, and she's being guided to work with that fear. And in that fear, she's seeing these spiky balls, right?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so she, you know, does something to kind of contain these spiky balls. But I was looking at the pictures of the coronavirus and I'm like, oh my gosh, it looks like the spiky ball that I imagined in my book. And that's pretty profound.
Right. Absolutely. But what's even more profound is the work that you're doing online. Tell us a little bit about the programs, and you have some special offers for my brains as well.
I do. So I have, along with my book, I have this program, which is an online program, which has audio and video, and then a workbook, which you can do either on the computer or by hand, which is to help people learn how to trust themselves and their intuition. So my book, The Inner Tree, is really about, in my story, there was a time in my life when I didn't think that I had any intuition, and I didn't understand my intuition. So that was a big, huge part of it. And so it was a process to learn to trust that. And of course, I talked about being an empath. You know, a lot of the education out there about becoming psychic or intuitive did not resonate with me. And so I always felt kind of out in left field with that until I started to learn more about myself and went down this mystical path. Right. And so the reason why, you know, there's a tree at the center of this, let me pull the book up, is because I see myself as a divine being, you know, rooted in the divine.
Right.
And the trunk is like the core of my being that's in touch with that divine. And it's at the tips of the branches where we actually meet the world. And so I don't know if we have time, but, you know, I would love to just kind of share a very brief poem that it totally inspired me to write this book, which comes from the Mahabharata.
Okay.
I'll go with it. It's just a few sentences. The seed it grows from is the unseen. Awareness is its trunk. Its inner hollows are the senses. Its branches are the great elements. The objects of perception are its buds.
Wow.
So that is all about us being trees, like trees in the world.
You know, I'm into trees. A few of my brains know I love to hug a tree. Really? One of my other brains came on the show and she says, April, just lay on the tree. Don't have any expectation. Just hug the tree. And I tell you, when I was finished, I was exhausted because I felt a change of energy. I felt rooted. I felt there was wisdom there. I felt that it had extracted something from me and I gave something to it. So again, working with trees as a metaphor is very profound. Tell my brains a little bit about how to get in contact with you and also how to join you in your online programs.
Okay. Yes. So here's some information that you can take down. So I have two opportunities for people today at discounted prices. So I have my Inner Tree program, which is that online program that I just showed you about, which normally I charge around $130 for that. And today I'm going to, you know, if you email me here and you put in the subject line, Hello Brains, you will be able to have that for $99.
Okay. And $99 is a very affordable price, Brains, for wisdom and for her expertise. So you don't have anything else but time. So now it's time for you to, you know, resonate and elevate. Take advantage of that.
Yeah. And then the other thing is I have a Finally an Author workbook, which is all about planning around your book. So it has lots of great exercises in it to help you find your writing voice, define what I call your avatar. That's the person that you're writing to. A book action plan. It has a tracking and accountability plan in it and some exercises to kind of help work develop your writing voice. That was attached to a, you know, basically a 12-week program back when I was doing the entrepreneur stuff. And, you know, at that time, that package for that was about $1,200. I don't have, because I'm working in the nonprofit and doing that work that I love, I don't have the capability to do the coaching piece of it, but the workbook can also be self-guided. So I'm also offering that one. If you want to write a book, you can do it. Absolutely. And if you are prompted to write a book, it means that you have something important to say. Absolutely. And that something to say is coming through you. So that prompt is coming from a deeper place. You need to write that book. And if you want some help around the structure of writing that, then I'm also offering the Finally an Author workbook for $99.
Wow.
So both of those opportunities for you.
There is two opportunities. There is an opportunity to send her an email and get more information. There's an opportunity for you to win a book here. There's an opportunity for you to get rooted and grow something organically. And I just want to thank you, Maura, for being here on the Edge with me and my brain. I want to thank you, too, for the work that you do with the incarcerated individuals, men and women. So many people are afraid of that population. There's no need to be afraid. You know, 1 in 3 have been incarcerated. Everybody that's watching this podcast has somebody that's been in jail. Okay.
Yes.
So don't judge. Okay. For the grace of God, go on. Thank you so much again for being here on the Edge. And I appreciate you and value you. Please come back and let us know what's going on. And we're going to go ahead and put all your information out here. You can also purchase this on Amazon, correct?
Yes, you can. It's both Kindle version. It's on Amazon, it's on Barnes & Noble, so you can get it in both Kindle or whatever. I don't remember what Barnes & Noble book thing is, you know, the electronic version. You can also buy hard copy on both of those places as well. So just,
I love a hard copy of a book. You know, I just cuddle up with, you know, a cup of coffee and really, and love to listen to it.
And I used, you know, my total maiden name for this one. So The Curious Magic of Buckeye Groves is also on Amazon under Maura McCarley. So if you love fiction, and if you want, for those brains out there that are women, if you want fantasy that is woman-centered, this is a book for you.
Well, you are woman-centered and you are heart-centered. And thank you again for being here on the Edge with us. Love you deeply and completely. Hang on in there, baby. We're going to make it through, okay?
Thank you so much.
All right. Bye, brains.
Bye, brains.